What is the significance of Pi Day to Cleveland? Well, it's a good one, as long as you're not throwing them at Albert Bell. Some good memories about the numbers for Pi Day for the Cleveland Guardians coming up on today's Locked On Guardians.
You are Locked On Guardians, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Guardians, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I want to thank you for making Locked On Guardians your first listen today and every day, where we get podcasts and say that Locked On Guardians have your team covered every day. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, the official sportsbook of the MLB and NBA, and the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Who doesn't like pies? My waistline. The answer to your question earlier. That's Justin. I'm Jeff. We got a little bit of World Baseball Classic, unfortunately, to talk about. We have,
unfortunately, come on,
some players sent down to minor league camp. We've got some stuff all over the place to get into on today's show. Some power rankings. Why don't you lead us off?
All right, Jeff, why do you think that Pi Day is significant? For those who don't know, Pi Day is 3.1415926, something, something, something. I don't know. That's as much math as I can get you through, but it's Pi Day. We're recording this on Pi Day. You're listening to this on March 15th, but today is Pi Day. Jeff, why do you think Pi Day is significant in Cleveland baseball history?
Let's see. I mean,
like, it has to do with numbers.
The date or just those numbers?
Just the numbers. Okay. Just the numbers.
3 and 14. I am not, I'll be the first to admit, as much as I am a quote unquote numbers guy, I'm actually not a numbers guy. I think people would be shocked for whatever reason. Like, I can't put numbers to players. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could name like 10 Cleveland athletes' numbers right now. It is just, it's, I don't know if I could name five.
Next episode of Locked On Guardians. That's what we're gonna do.
I mean, if I'm not putting time looking, I could maybe do like two Guardians off the top of my head. It's just something that doesn't stick with me for whatever reason. You know, I can tell you like who they were traded for. I can tell you what they did in Double A, but their playing number, it's right. Like pronunciation for me. For whatever reason, that does not stick at all. So I'm gonna be honest. This is one that I can't answer.
Yeah, this just popped up this morning. I knew it was Pi Day, and I was like, all right, let me look for something to talk about on the podcast tonight. And as it turns out, it's a pretty significant number. I mean, there's a lot of numbers in Pi Day, but these are two very significant numbers in Cleveland history. So number three, Earl Averill, retired by the Indians. The
third best Cleveland war. Franchise. Second best war.
Now, see, that's where you would know better than I would.
I think he's third at best. I think he's after Speaker and Lashway, I believe, or higher. He's definitely top five, but I believe third best.
So number three belongs to Earl Averill. Not the last guy to wear it, though. It took a while for them to retire. And after him, you had Rusty Peters, which don't know. I don't know a lot of the names. Eddie
not
Robinson.
Touch that name. Not touching that one. I need that full name on the back. I'm going to buy a jersey that has the full name.
You could probably get it from like a China vendor or something. Yeah, there's someone. Eddie Robinson wore at number three, and Eddie Robinson, I believe. I don't know if I can't tell if he's still alive. I know he was
the player who never would shake Larry Doby's hand.
Was that him?
Yes,
Eddie Robinson. Yikes! Well, he was at the last World Series because I remember in 2016
story
was the last. Oh God. He at the time he was the last living member of the 1948 World Series team. He was at the 2016 World Series. So he wore that number. And then after that, you had Dale Mitchell and George Strickland. But the other guy that wore the number that I thought was significant, too, was Woody Held at one time.
He refused to give him his glove. That was it.
That's a weird story. Okay. Yeah. Don't love that. The other guy who wore the jersey was Woody Held, who at one time was probably the best hitting shortstop in Cleveland history until Johnny Peralta came along. And I think Johnny Peralta broke his record for most home runs by a shortstop. So. Good for Johnny Peralta, who I didn't think got enough love. But, Earl Averill, number 13. Also, you know, Woody Held, for those who care. Number 14.
Woody Held is my dad's favorite player.
Yeah. I remember talking about a lot about him when Johnny Peralta got good. 14, you should know, Jeff. You should know 14.
Sizemore? Oh, was he 18? Wasn't he in the teens?
Oh, the comments aren't going to be good for you after this, Jeff. This is bad. It is Larry Doby.
Oh,
Doby is 14.
They don't stick in my head for whatever reason. It's like pronunciation.
Yeah, Larry Doby was number 14. Actually, before Larry Doby, this is interesting. Bob Feller was number 14 in his pre-war days. So before he went off to fight in the war, Bob Feller wore number 14. But then, most famously for the guard, obviously Indians, was Larry Doby. The numbers retired. Jim Hegan, who was Mike Hegan's dad, former broadcaster for the Indians, he wore 14 for a while. And then Tito Francona, Terry Francona's dad, also wore number 14 while he was in Cleveland. And then it went to a bunch of guys after that. And then the last guy it went to was, there were some unnecessary guys it went to. But for a while, it was Julio Franco's number. And then went to Jerry Brown. And the last guy to wear it for the Indians was Jesse Levis in 1992. So 314, very significant numbers.
And to go back in, just so we don't get in trouble, I was right. He did refuse to shake his hand when he came in. Les Fleming and Eddie Robinson were the two guys. And that comes from Joe Paznoski's blog. You know, he's a Joe is someone who would know. So I did think I had that right, but I know I was making a pretty serious claim, so I better back that up. So
yeah, I trust Joe. Joe is a great historian. If you don't read his stuff, you should. So those are two significant numbers in Cleveland history, and interesting, they're both retired and very, very famous players. So that got me thinking, Jeff, who is the next former, I guess it's going to be Indian, or you could say Guardian, is going to have their number retired by the Cleveland franchise? Who is it going to be? Historically, they only retire numbers of guys who have made it to the Hall of Fame. There is nobody up on their rafters or their banners or their shipping containers right now until they change that hasn't been in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. So, or the
one of those Baseball teams. Hall of Fame. I don't like that in sports because there's great players for teams.
Well, but then you got the Yankees who retire like every number of anybody who's ever been good with the Yankees, and that's why Aaron Judge wears 99.
Harder's in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe I got that wrong.
Is Mel Harder's in? Because I didn't think he's a Hall of Famer.
No. Okay, so maybe I'm wrong then. Okay, yeah. Everybody. I think everybody else is though.
Because you got Jackie Robinson, Larry Doby is in, Jim Thome, Bob Lemon, Earl Averill, Lou Boudreau, and Bob Feller.
So Mel Harder is the only one, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Is Tris Speaker? You say that? Is he in the Hall of Fame?
He's definitely in the Hall of Fame. His number isn't retired. Neither is Nap Lajoie's, according to this.
Was maybe Tris Speaker not around long enough for that? That surprises me.
Tris Speaker was around for a lot. He's the all-time WAR.
Is there something we don't know about Tris Speaker? Should his number be retired?
I mean, you think Nap Lajoie's number should be retired? Like they named
they were named the Naps for a time, right? I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah,
maybe retroactively they should do one of those.
They've not gone and done those. It's like like Bob Feller the earliest. Like they haven't retired. No, I guess Mel Harder was 28-47, so he's the first. But they haven't retired anyone who played before 1920. I mean, and Earl Averill is 1929. It's like if you didn't win a World Series with the team, your number outside of Thome, all these other guys were at least there for one of the World Series, correct? So I think Jim Thome and then Frank Robinson was not a World Series, but I mean, his number isn't retired for what he did in Cleveland. He was here towards the end and then more for breaking through as a manager is probably, but
right.
Every other guy whose number is retired won a World Series with the team.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm surprised Lajoie and Speaker aren't retired. But now that you think about it, yeah, they're not because Tris Speaker spent 11 years in Cleveland. He's in the Hall of Fame. So that's interesting.
I'm sorry. Lajoie is one. Speaker is two. Boudreau is three. And Earl Averill is four. Do you know who's fifth all-time amongst hitters in WAR?
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to know. No. Or was it Larry Doby?
Nope. He is eighth.
Manny Ramirez?
No, he's 17th. So you got Thome is 6, Joe Sewell 7, Jose Ramirez 9, Terry Turner 10, Shoeless Joe at 11.
Corey Kluber. Oh, he's a position player.
It is Kenny Lofton. We can always have a debate. Whoa. His number should be retired, but fifth all time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But Sabathia. I always say his name wrong. People get mad. But again, pronunciation and numbers, the things I don't do well. some might say talk about baseball, but I would just say, hey, that's hurtful, and move on. But I think, you know, I think he is kind of the likeliest candidate. There's just too much around Manny for the reasons he's not in the Hall, even though he probably should get his. Albert Bell should honestly be in the discussion.
I don't think it's ever happening.
I don't think it's happening either. Don't bring up Omar.
Your next two bets are going to be like, well, CeCe is an interesting case because he's not going to go into the Hall of Fame as, as a Clevelander. He is going to go in as a Yankee. Tommy went to the Hall of Fame as an Indian. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works if they'll do that. I think they should retire Sabathia's number. I do.
Honestly,
I think after that, the next one is going to be Jose Ramirez.
I think Corey Kluber should. Like, Pete Kluber, what he did is something really in my lifetime we haven't seen in terms of dominance of a starter for this team. Two Cy Youngs. Like, I mean, when CC won his first one, it was like such a big deal because this franchise won awards. Like, I remember going through, it's like, you know, when was that? It's like Gaylord Perry was the only, I believe, the only Cy Young award winner they had. Then you had CC Talley, and then you had Kluber with two, right?
You mean they gave Wayne Garland that historic contract and he didn't win a Cy Young? No. Some older folks will kind of appreciate that one.
I know we have a lot to dig into today, but I got to cut you off here. Cross that off on your bingo. Everyone's favorite thing when I cut someone off, because we got to get into a power ranking. And the funny thing about our power ranking is we realized as we were getting ready to talk about it that it's brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. And the NBA playoffs are around the corner. March Madness is just, you know, is
here.
Hot. It's here, basically, right? And, you know, the NBA season and the NHL are playoffs, and now it's the perfect time for new customers to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Download the app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. You can bet on everything. Again, bet on the over on the Guardians. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
All right. Well, our good friends at FanDuel were nice enough to throw some controversy, but they were nice enough to throw some power rankings out there to start the season this past week, and here we go. So in tier one, they have the Dodgers, the Astros, the Phillies, the Yankees, the Braves, the Mets. Obviously, all those teams made the World Series, or the World Series.
I have body twitches, so thank you. You just saw it.
Jeff's surprised by that one. In tier two, you have, if you're not watching on YouTube, which, you know, please do. I know people are upset we're not going longer these days, but we can still use the support on YouTube. We're gonna try to work something out for all of you who do want to see us go longer on here. But the Padres, the Guardians, the Mariners, the Blue Jays. What do we think? Is this the right grouping here for the Guardians in tier two?
I would put Tampa in tier two. Honestly,
they're in tier three. Yeah.
I think. The rest of that grouping makes sense. I think that is, I know some people were a little surprised at Yankees in tier one, but it feels like, I mean, they kind of put up the teams that made, like, the Yankees still made the ALCS, you know, and I know they're beat up in terms of their pitching, but they still made the ALCS. They still have a pretty darn good lineup.
Right.
They've got some interesting prospects. I don't have a huge bone of contention with the first two tiers outside of, I feel like Tampa is a little underestimated. I would probably flip the Twins and White Sox as well. I think Boston should be in tier five, maybe tier six.
Boston. Yeah, the Twins are in tier four for those who aren't watching, and we have the graphic up on YouTube. The White Sox are in tier three. I don't know. Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. Flipping the Twins into tier three over the White Sox makes sense to me. I would actually throw the Padres into tier one, and I know the Astros lineup is really good, and the Phillies, I don't know, the Phillies, something about the Phillies pitching still doesn't sit right with me. I know they have Nolan Wheeler, but after that, it's like, I know Taiwan Walker now, I guess. I don't know. But the Padres, they're really good. I would have the Padres in tier one. It's just interesting to me that tier one and tier two is literally chalk from last year. Like, it's just all the playoff teams. Like, nobody else from the teams that didn't make it into the playoffs, and the Brewers just missed by a game. I'm sorry, the Rays are in tier three. The Rays made the playoffs. They are the only team in the playoffs.
And the Cardinals made the playoffs, didn't they?
Oh, they did, yeah, because they got knocked up by the Phillies. Okay, so two teams for the playoffs are in tier three.
Were those like the two of the first teams get knocked out, right? They put those in
they tier three. Yeah, I'd put the Twins and the White Sox. I think the Guardians are right there in tier three. I mean, honestly, I might put the Mariners above. I mean, I don't know if they're necessarily doing this in order, but I guess they are. But I would have the Mariners above Cleveland because I like their pitching staff a little better. I like their outfield a little bit better. Although I guess they have one uncertain outfield spot, and Cleveland's got like one maybe uncertain outfield spot. Although I guess some people would say two with Miles Straw. But yeah, I would put the Mariners over them. I don't know. I might even put the Blue Jays over them because I think the Blue Jays have a better rotation too. Although you could certainly argue that because of the back half of theirs as well. I don't know. The Mets are interesting. Like Jose Quintana is already hurt. Unfortunately, yeah. He also looked good for, I mean, almost got saved by the fact that he was hurt because he had a cancer scare, I guess, when he went in for his scan for his rib or something. They found like a lesion.
You guys, remember Brown's running back, James Harrison, maybe? I think we're going to end up being a hidden blessing.
No, that's cool. I don't know. I'm not sure, but kind of saved him. But I don't know. I feel like the Mets have a lot of pitching, but I don't know. The Mets are the Mets. They're weird. So maybe they'll be fine. Maybe they won't be. I don't have a problem with Cleveland in tier two, though. And yeah, I'm with you on flipping the Twins and the White Sox. Everybody in tier four to me, tier four is the Twins, the Red Sox, the Giants, the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Marlins. I would probably put the Marlins. Well, I don't know. Their pitching staff is okay. I would actually move the Rangers in tier four above the Marlins. The Rangers at least went out and spent some money, and they have some. If anybody on Texas can stay healthy this year, I mean, any pitcher, whether it's Heaney or Eovaldi or DeGrom or any of their players, if they stay healthy, they have a chance to be interesting. The Marlins, to me, went out and spent a bunch of money, and I think they're still going to finish above. Only going to finish above the Nationals because the Nationals stink. But
no, I agree with you on that. I'm not. I don't know. The Marlins seem like a very flawed team to me.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be that good. The Rockies are in tier five. I would actually go ahead and put the Pirates in tier five above the Rockies.
To me, the Rockies and the Pirates belong in tier six until we see any better. Those are the bottom feeders.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, Kansas City should be in tier six. Tier five should be almost non-existent. It should be. What should happen, honestly, is that the Cubs, to me, should be in tier five still. Boston should be in tier five. The Marlins should be in tier five. Texas goes up to tier four. And for now, Los Angeles and a few other teams. I think tier four needs to be thinned and tier six needs to be expanded. That's my hot take.
Yeah, I could agree with that for sure. I would just move Texas up a little bit. Yeah. Okay, swap Texas and the Cubs. Move the Marlins down. The Diamondbacks, I guess, can stay there because they do have a good outfield and they do have good pitching.
You know, yeah, I think the prospects are going to start getting them there.
Yeah, the Rockies in the last year, I would say for sure. The Rockies to me belong down like right sandwiched around the Nationals and the Athletics. Like I know those two teams are just terrible, but the Rockies are just perpetually strange and I don't understand what they're doing. The Tigers are forever rebuilding, so good for them. I think the Pirates deserve a little more love. Like they've got some guys coming. I think the farm system is good. I guess
very little proven. Like it is all kind of it's Brian Reynolds, and then hopefully they'll pan out. Even though the farm system really has had no one pan out. Like who has panned out from that farm system? And Brian Reynolds wasn't even their guy. Like he was, they got kind of lucky. He was a trade.
Yeah, for San Francisco.
Their farm system has been a dumpster fire, an underrated dumpster fire is J.P. Brubaker their biggest success of the last 4 years? I mean, maybe. Yikes.
I'm putting Pittsburgh in tier up only because they have a bunch of old Cleveland friends. By the way, Ernie Clement to the Blue Jays. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I did not, but it makes perfect sense and good for him.
Yeah, he found a gig. You're right. They said they let him go because he was exploring other opportunities. When we come back, we have roster assignments that happen.
Roster fodder? Guardians. Oh.
Not quite roster fodder, not yet, but we do have another set of roster reassignments. We'll talk about those and kind of give some quick takes on what those mean in this. And if there's any surprises, spoiler alert, there are no surprises, not with this roster. Hey, we're back. That was quick. That was good. The roster reassignments. Okay, so
one of these days I'm gonna change my shirt in the middle of one of those. Like, not go like topless or anything. Just have like a T-shirt I can take off.
This is a family program, Jeff.
I have too many body issues. For that.
No one wants to see that for me either. People stop watching on YouTube because we're not going as long. People are definitely gonna stop watching YouTube because
all of a sudden we'll go from a few hundred to none.
Yeah. Oh, why did our subscription on YouTube go below 1,000? That's strange. You know, I go to
1,000 subscribers overnight.
Explain that one to Lockdown. I go to a decent amount of Monsters games, Cleveland Monsters, the hockey team here, and the minor league hockey team for the Blue Jackets. They have their mascot will repeatedly lift up his jersey to show his bird body, and I'm like, this is a family event. I don't necessarily know that should be happening. This is a family environment, and the bird's over there up against the glass of the ice and flashing the other team. I understand he's trying to distract them, but man, that is
a
dirty bird.
It's not even Atlanta. But speaking of dirty birds, let's talk about this prospect. Who am I going to label the dirty bird on this list? I've set myself up, and I actually forgot. I changed screens because I was having some computer issues. I'm gonna label Jason Billis the dirty bird because, and Coastal Carolina, where he went, is the Chanticleers, right? Which are a bird.
So Chanticleers.
Chanticleers. So he was a bird in college from the White Sox. So he's gonna be the dirty bird. Sorry, Jason Billis. This one was to me the most surprising, just because they went out of their way to add him and to move him down so quickly. When you and I thought, hey, maybe he's got a chance to make this roster because they just have. Some pitchers that are hurt. So, speaking of roster fodder, the debate now is someone's going. Either someone's going to go on the 60-day DL. Either it's going to be Valera, or it's going to be Morris, or it's going to be Henches. And if that doesn't happen, is it Billis or is it Palacios? Because the other thing to talk about is like Palacios. It certainly seems like the World Baseball Classic and what we've seen with Cleveland, no one thinks he has the position. So
maybe.
Is it Billis? Is it Palacios? Right now, it's Billis is the first one down. So that probably says enough.
Yeah. Billis for Cam Gallagher is probably the way this is going to go. I would assume if he is not going to make the opening day roster in the bullpen. I mean, they could leave him on the 40 because as we talked about before, Tim Herron is your only minor. Well, he might. Tim Herron might start the year in the majors.
He might make this team.
He might have to. Not that he's not ready, but you don't have anybody on the pitching staff that can ride the I-71 shuttle on a day you might need it, unless you plan on doing like Curry or Gattis or Pilkington, one of those guys to come up and cover some innings. Like, let's say, disaster strikes and somehow Rob Manfred doesn't get his way and games don't end in 10 innings. And the bullpen kind of gets burned out. You need a body to come up. And if Heron's already in your bullpen,
going back to our first talk, needing bodies to come up, we're going in circles. Oh, yeah. With our statements.
Yes. Yeah, this is definitely all connected for sure.
Yeah.
None of those are birds, thankfully, but yeah, I mean, you could send Heron down, but you got to send somebody, you got to bring somebody up, to be a fresh arm. And if it's not Jason Billis, then it's Curry, it's
Gattis, one of those relievers,
right? It's where one of those starters.
I think an interesting discussion to be had at some point is, you mentioned to me yesterday that Mandy Bell had like Gattis making this team as a reliever, where you're like, oh, are people, you and I both talked about that's probably his likely future outcome, not his best, but his likely future outcome. It's like, if we're already kind of there, like, I'm curious where the idea came from. I would have loved to, talk to her.
Yeah, I don't know. If there is something going on there, I didn't listen to the press conference the other day, so I don't know. But that would make sense because they certainly have more bodies to spare in AAA. They don't have any. They're not going to have innings for all these guys in AAA, so you might as well do it with somebody, especially if Cody Morris is down. And who knows when he comes back? Same with Henches, although I think Henches will be back quicker. You need somebody, so I don't know. The only question with Billis is, who rides the I-71? Bus all year or at least to start, and I think it's got to be that might have to be Billis, like unless it's one of the starters. Courier, I would leave,
but you only get the three times before you got to let him go. But hey,
it's five.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
But maybe they use all of those in the early going, and you kind of need someone who's maybe you need someone who you're not afraid of hitting that number.
And it could be Billis, right? That's what I'm saying. So we think that Billis is the guy to go for Cam Gallagher, but you know, he might be a guy that you need on the train to in case something happens. The other option is Gattis or Courier.
I don't think we want to talk about things happening with trains right now.
Oh boy. Yeah, we're just going to move along. The rest of this list, though, so keep an eye on what happens with Billis, whether it's he goes for Cam Gallagher or he sticks around as a, I guess, roster fodder. No disrespect to Jason Billis, obviously, just every
team. He's got an electric arm. It's just, can they get the control together? It's not been their fort of development.
Yeah. The other guy is not really surprising. Like, obviously, Brian Rocchio reassigned to AAA, Jose Tania, Angel Martinez, Juan Brito, and John Kenzie Noel. No surprises there. Caleb Simpson was reassigned to minor league camp, so he will obviously not break the spring with the roster, which I don't think anybody really expected him to anyway. But
I think, you know, when you look at the two Calebs, it's like, if you're like, why him? Because the other one's left-handed, right?
That's Caleb Berger, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, no real surprises there. And if anybody's wondering, too, they option all those infielders to AAA. They're not all going to AAA.
That's especially where they go for now. Yeah.
Right. It's just a way of optioning them down to camp. And Rocchio will go to AAA. I don't think Martinez will. I'm not sure. I think Brito's going to go to AA. Tana will be in AAA.
You think Tana will be in AAA?
He ended the year there, so I think so. Okay, so especially if they're going to put Angel Martinez and Brito both in AA, there's no room for
Brito going to go to AA, or is he going to go high A?
Well, our buddy Zach Meisel originally had like a, I think he was, I don't want to say he's throwing at a dartboard, but I think he was kind of moving the chess pieces around and talking to some people, and I think maybe there's a chance that Juan Brito might go to AA. You know,
okay,
a former infielder who skipped high, because so if Brito,
does go to AA,
yeah, you know, so is there Maris
go ahead and pull out that.
I'm just going to go for it. Yeah, he skipped high A. Saying.
Though part of it was so he could stay at short while Frankie was playing. Though it's been interesting to see this since discussion from people who, like, I talked about at the time with it, who we're all like, oh, it's because of balancing guys. And now I see some of those people being like, well, he asked for the challenge. I'm like, he might have asked for a challenge he thought he could do, but that's certainly not what you were saying at the time. So I do like to see some of that back and forth. It always amuses me. The thing I will say with Jose Ramirez is at some point I sent Justin. The nice thing about John Sickles is all of his stuff is free and it still exists out there and it hasn't been deleted.
Somehow.
Very lucky that minor league baseball still exists. But I found a 10-year-old prospect list of his. So at some point, in the next few weeks, we're going to go and don't view it as a takedown of John. We all miss. His is surprisingly good. He was literally the high man on Jose Ramirez at the time and goes out of his way in that piece to support it. That's what made me think of that. So look forward to that. And then, you know, we're talking about the number stuff. Would you also like, because here's the thing, we've talked about, we're going to do the college stuff that's coming up, but we will need some points to throw some fun reoccurring segments. Because what, there's a whole set of Mondays 1 month where they don't play. There's a whole set of Thursdays where they don't play for a month. So would you like us to have like who owns this jersey number segment, you know, every other week or every week, like who is number one, who is number two? So maybe I'll learn some jersey numbers. Would you like us to do some more prospect stuff? I haven't done a draft history in a while. Would you like that? What would you like us to do for segments? Make sure to hit those up in the comments below, as well as telling us, what college teams and or players maybe you'd like us to cover in the upcoming week.
Yeah, Guardians related too. I actually have a list. I'm going to put it up in my blog, and I'll, if anybody's interested and follows me on Twitter, I'll put it up there. But I'll have a list of Guardians specific targets
first in the round, draft too. Jaron Watts Brown, second round Miles Naylor. Just calling that.
Third round, or I'm sorry, no, comp B Miles Naylor, second round Taylor.
Hall.
The kid Taylor Hall from Southern Miss. Yeah, we already got it done. We're already three picks in. We got this. Any last swings for you, Jeff, before I get to the World Baseball Classic update that everybody's been waiting for? Are you trying to use the force to keep the World Baseball Classic away from you? If you're not watching, he has his lightsaber out.
I'm avoiding the World Baseball Classic with a But I guess I'm implying it's good, right? Because this is a Darth Vader, so it's red, it's a Sith, so I'm
that'd be implying it's bad. Compliment.
No, because I'm using an evil, so to imply that I'm evil.
And yes, I'm
implying that the World Baseball Classic is good. So I think all of this failed. I think I just completely failed.
Yes, it's cutting you deep in half. That's my only Star Wars reference there. Anyway,
turn into a Force ghost and become stronger than I ever imagined.
Well, you can turn to a ghost for a minute here while I go through the World Baseball Classic update, because people out there do care. I care. Some people do care. Let's see. Canada surprisingly beat Colombia today 5-0. I did not see that coming. But our guy, Dian Frias, played again today, 1-for-2 with a strikeout. Didn't do a whole lot there. But they did get in the game. Colombia is probably done in that pool. Too bad for them. I did not see Canada beating them. But Bo Naylor had an RBI single to actually give Canada a 1-0 lead. He threw a runner out at second base. Really strong throw. I think I retweeted that clip earlier. So good day for Bo Naylor. RBI single and a runner caught stealing. Last night, by the way, it happened after we got finished recording. Cade Smith came in. So the USA clobbered nice. Canada. It was a run roll game. The game ended after 7 innings, but Cade Smith came in, gave a bloop hit to Tim Anderson. And then Pete Alonso comes in, and Cade Smith strikes out Pete Alonso on 5-4 pitches. He threw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball up and in. It had some real tail, had some real rising action, and Pete Alonso just swung under, and he looked like he was, you know, stunned. So good for Cade Smith. I know the Smith family was watching, and I think they listen occasionally to us as well. They're good people.
He made it look like – sorry, I'm going to interrupt. But, like, you and I spent a good 20 minutes after the show talking about how Canada has no pitching, and did they do the proper pitching alignment. Like, he made it look like they should have used him as an opener.
Yeah, he looked great. I mean, he did a bloop single to Anderson, but Anderson didn't really get a good piece of it. It just happened Anderson's to find
– I mean, he's awesome hot, the whole yeah. thing, though.
Yeah, and then he got Trey Turner to pop out, and – I know, and Bo Naylor even earned Smith a strike. There was like a cutter on the inside corner to Alonso. It probably was a ball, depending on the angle of the TV or the cameras. But I think Naylor stole him a strike. So the good tandem there of Guardians prospects helping out Team Canada, though they lost, although Canada won today, so they might move on. So Bo Naylor, Cal Quantrill, and Cade Smith have a chance to be moving on. They control their own fate at this point, so they could be gone a little bit longer. Venezuela today beat Nicaragua 4-1. Andre Jimenez, another hit and a run scored. Good for him. Hey, old friend Anthony Santander, Jeff.
Speaking of hot.
Yeah, he might be the MVP of group D. So good for him. As Venezuela is probably the best team in the tournament right now, if you ask me. I know Japan's pretty good, but I think they were in a pretty weak pool. And then I don't think anybody played for Israel or the Dominican Republic as far as Cleveland goes. But here's an interesting note for you, Jeff. Nelson Cruz played tonight for the Dominican Republic. He is the Dominican Republic GM. He pulled a Roger Dorn. He's the GM of that team, and he activated himself and got on the field.
I'll say it for another day. I think he's going to be an interesting Hall of Fame discussion. He's not necessarily a Hall of Famer, but it's when you look at a guy whose career didn't start basically till like 28,
right.
Good number.
He had the steroid thing, though. Hit steroid thing.
Did he too? Okay.
Yeah, he lost the year because of that. But
there's also the some point we got to sit back and wonder who actually wasn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. They should all. And if one is in, they should all be.
It didn't affect Ortiz at all. Diluted sample, and
that one was Boston murky, fans. Unfortunately,
but it's always funny how certain guys no effect at all.
Yeah. That has been your WBC minute wrap-up. WBC, WBC, WBC.
World Boxing Championship, World Boxing Championship, World Boxing Championship.
Oh, man, which is less exciting than the World Baseball Classic.
The only boxing I care about is like in a Rocky movie anymore, a Rocky Universe Creed adjacent movie. All of
fair
those,
enough.
I want to thank you all for listening, rating, and reviewing. Thank you for the comments on the long term, on the long shows.
We're trying.
And the more data we have, the more we can represent our point of view. And but again, don't get angry at them. It's Locked On gives us this this avenue to speak, and we're very thankful to them for that. We hope you're enjoying the show. We saw also you enjoyed our silliness, so I'm trying to lean into it some more with some fun. And yeah, thank you all for being part of the Locked On Guardians team. We were 60th this week on Chartered Bomb Baseball Podcast. We got to crack back in that top 50. We got to be top in the American League Central. We got to take that over. So make sure you are downloading daily, rating and reviewing, subscribing. It helps. Hit the bell, like and subscribe.
Tomorrow's show, we will have a crossover with the Locked On Twins. So we're going to start doing some Locked On crossovers with the other division rivals. So let us know what you want us to talk about the brand and the host of Locked On Twins with as far as the division matchup goes. If you have any questions for him about the Twins, let us know.
Certainly. And thank you again. Go, go, Guardians, go.